Welcome to the Good Grief Conversation. I'm your host, Janet Jones, and you're listening to UK Health Radio. This programme brings you honest, gritty, emotional and inspiring conversation around a subject that affects all of us, yet is still very much taboo. So join me now for this inspiring Good Grief Conversation. Hi and welcome to the Good Grief Conversation this week, and I'm Janet Jones, your host, and I have a really interesting conversation with my next guest. Her name is Dawn Petherick, and we're going to be talking about shamanic healing. Now, first of all though, I just want to say that don't rush your grief. Grief is a journey. It's a very personal journey. It's not about getting better over something. It's not even about getting through or healing, all those kind of things. I truly believe, and this is based on my experience and that of talking to other people who have not only, again, I'm about to use the word come through, but kept waking up each day with grief, but actually they have thrived in their life after grief. Those were the kind of people who I wanted in my life, I wanted to learn from, and those are the people who I bring to you in the Good Grief Conversation, along with other people who have got skills and knowledge and experience that they can share to help you on your journey also. You see, I don't particularly like, as I was saying, these words getting better and getting through, and but even healing. You see, your life has changed, and that's a fact. Now, in the early stages, and even now, honestly, it's a fact that I don't like, will never like, but I can't change it, and neither can you. And when we fully embrace that, that is at the point where the most progress in the journey actually takes place. Now, if you're at the beginning of your journey and your life has literally just blasted apart through loss, whether that's loss of a loved one or unexpectedly losing your job, or, you know, all these losses at the beginning of the loss, they shatter your life. Now, depending on the relationship to the person who has died, for instance, then the shattering is bigger depending on the closeness of that relationship. If you're at that stage, then just keep getting up in the morning. You know, that's being brave. Being brave is just getting out of bed at whatever time, you know, just at that stage, do not push yourself. Do not think, oh, I should be better by now. I should be doing this and I should be feeling that. Now, again, people, their journey happens at different time scales, so don't even compare anything. So we have all these things at different time scales that happen for different people. And in the Good Grief Conversation, you're going to meet lots of people who have changed at different times. Let me come back to today's guest though. So today's guest, Dawn Petherick, is a shamanic healer, and I was very interested in wanting to know how I can grow and what the depth of me was. I feel that there's a profound depth, and I wanted to investigate that depth. Now, maybe you're thinking, what a load of rubbish. If you do think that, I'd like you to just park that thought and join us in this conversation and have a listen. And it may not be for you right now, but maybe further down the line, when things have changed for you, something that is said in this conversation just may come back to you and resonate with you and be helpful for you then. So join us in this investigative conversation, diving into a deeper part of life, one that most people don't even talk about. So it is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to the lovely Dawn Petherick. So Dawn, welcome to the Good Grief Conversation. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, well, I was drawn to you because, you know, obviously I'm on this journey and wanting to find ways of transforming into my next chapter of life. And obviously my listeners are along that journey too. I know nothing about shamanic healing, so I wanted to bring you on my program so that we can learn more about that. But before we dive into that as a subject, just tell me more about yourself and what got you to doing that, you know, because it's very much a journey thing that takes you to something like that. You know, you don't go to shamanic healing straight from school, I wouldn't have thought.
No, it's certainly been a journey, and my journey really starts from a grief perspective. I lost my mum when I was just 20. And so I was on a seeking journey of, could I connect with her? You know, could we connect with the other side, so to speak, and people who have passed over? And my godparents were very much believers in mediumship. And so that was always part of my background. But what really triggered a deeper journey was just stuff that comes along in life, the end of a relationship following a divorce, none of which I healed from or dealt with. And as I started healing from that, I realized that I hadn't dealt with the loss of my mum. So that led to me going to Greece on a wellbeing week, which included Reiki training. And that was in 2005. And I've been on a ever deepening journey ever since. Really, I did go through a bit of a magpie phase of, well, what else can I learn next? Here's another bright new shiny thing. And they've all been helpful, and some I've stuck with me, some I took on to full practitioner status, others I just did for my own personal interest. You know, similar to what you're on now, it's just become a world that I'm fully immersed in now. It became something that I got so much personal benefit out of that I decided I wanted to essentially completely retrain, leave my old career behind and do this full time.
What was your old career, Dawn?
My old career was in IT, in higher education. So I spent just under 30 years working in various different universities in IT management.
Right. So very left brain activities, and you've gone completely the other way, because this spiritualism is more of a right brain creative side of things, isn't it? So you've switched brains.
Yes. And it wasn't particularly easy making a switch whilst immersed in that left brain world.
No, I can imagine, actually. Tell us now a little about shamanic healing. And obviously you've been on a journey, and like you say, you've gone forever deeper in this journey. And now you've landed in the shamanic world. But for anyone out there who have no idea what shamanic is or shamanism is, then, you know, fill us in on that, Dawn.
I'd love to. Thank you. So shamanism is the oldest documented form of healing we have in the world. It can be traced back 40,000 years, some people say 100,000 years. And that's part of what I love about it, because it wouldn't still exist if it didn't work, because there would be no way of passing it down from generation to generation. And I've been fortunate to work with a Nepalese shaman who's 35th generation shaman in his family, which is just amazing. And makes me feel like the novice that I am, which keeps me myself in a reality check. So it's the oldest form of not just healing, but a way of life. So going back tens of thousands of years, we lived in a nomadic culture, very much working through a tribe or a village, and would be following the seasons and the sources of food. And the shaman or medicine man or woman would be the person who had the responsibility not only for healing illnesses, but also for divining information, including where they should move to next for their food source, which is how we know it works. Otherwise, they would have died out, you know, one bad winter and that would be it. A shaman, by the way, is only a very recently become a generic term. It's actually the name given to medicine men and women from the Tungus tribe in Siberia. And indigenous cultures have their own names, but since anthropologists got involved, we've adopted that name widely to all cultures. So the philosophy, from a healing perspective, the philosophy is partly that everything has spirit, including animals, the earth, plants, trees, stones, rocks, everything. Therefore, we should work with that spirit and honour that spirit. Then from a healing perspective, the philosophy is that we're a soul having an earthly experience, and that when we experience some kind of trauma, then part of that soul, or it can be part of our power as well, separates away into what in shamanic terms we call the non-ordinary world. So we have the ordinary world, which is, you know, the world that you and I are talking now, the world that we can sit on and feel in touch, and then everything else is classed as non-ordinary. So you or your listeners may know it as more modern terms, perhaps as universe or spirit. It's just everything that we can't see, unseen world. So our power and our soul parts can separate away, and they reside then in the non-ordinary worlds. And the shaman can access the non-ordinary worlds through a trance-like state, which we call a shamanic journey. And that's something that we can all learn to do and we can all experience. And the shaman's role is then to make journeys into the non-ordinary worlds in order to bring back, it could be guidance or information, or in a healing term, it can be to bring back soul parts or power parts. That's one side of shamanic healing. Shamanic healing is a really an umbrella term. So under that, we have specific techniques. We have retrievals, where we're bringing power or soul parts back. And then we also have extractions, where we're taking away old stuck energy. We have other processes known as psychopomp, which is all to do with helping the recently deceased to pass over and to ensure they're having a good and easy journey on into their other realms.
Yeah. And at what point would you feel that that is necessary for somebody to have that easier passing over? Would it be that if there's been, you know, a traumatic death, or so let's say, you know, we're in this world. And so if we're thinking, I feel I need to help my husband, wife, child, whoever, to have an easier Passover, how would we know to take that action, or that that is even needed?
You may not know. It can be intuitive, or it can just be something that you wish to seek out so that you feel a greater sense of peace. This is if the person's already passed on. But part of the role of psychopomp can be to connect with the soul and just assess where they are and whether they are passed over easily and smoothly and peacefully. It is something that tends to happen more often with traumatic deaths, where souls can get a bit stuck because they weren't ready to leave here. They didn't have a known illness, perhaps if it's a sudden accident, for example. They have a terminal illness, for example, and they know that their time is getting nearer. It can be something that they choose to prepare for. So if they don't follow another religion, but want some kind of support through the process or preparation, then that's something we're trained to do, to work with them beforehand and then just energetically assist them at the time.
Yeah. I would never have thought about, you know, about that. So, yeah, no, that's great, because it makes perfect sense when somebody's reaching that time of their life. They are transitioning into that next phase, aren't they? So, yes, to have someone around to help with that energy shift is probably a good idea. I mean, I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I have absolutely no idea, but it sounds right to me. You know, I do understand about this, the energy fields that we have, which again, we'll come on to. So we've said about the history of shamanism, and it goes back either 40,000 or 100,000 or whatever. But it's, like you say, it's something that has been passed down through generations, but really based on tribes. But now, as us Westerners start to realize that actually the way we've been living has been kind of a bit linear, really, I think we are looking for a deeper understanding, you know, and I think that comes through loss, when something is taken away from us so unexpectedly. Even when you expect, you know, that somebody's coming to the end of their life, it's still a shock when that day actually comes. From my experiences, that actually opens us up to something else. if we allow it. Some people who it's opened them up for that time around about the event when it actually happens, and then they seem to close in again. Now, we're just going to change subject a little bit here. Well, not the subject, but change about a little bit what we were talking about. So I had a treatment with you a few days ago, and I thought we could talk about that. I don't mind you sharing my journey and how it was for you. I think it would be good actually to share that. Yeah, so it's been a few days on. We'll come to where I'm at a few days on, but let's talk about the actual treatment and what it's all about.
So you had a shamanic soul retrieval session, and the aim of this session is to return to you fragments of your soul which separate away from you and from any others when we go through some kind of traumatic experience. So the aim of your session was to return back soul parts for you. And we always set an intention when we're working with energy, particularly when we're working shamanically. And so you had set an intention of finding more peace in the moment, joy and tranquility. So that's the intention that I held on your behalf. And I also always hold the intention the session is for your highest good. So therefore, there may be other parts that need to return that neither you or I are aware of why they need to come back, but it was for your highest good at the time of the session, then those parts are returned.
So for me, you know, we did a soul retrieval. You know, grief is a fairly obvious thing. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe to some people it isn't, that the soul is damaged at that time as well. But how do things show up in people's lives when, you know, maybe there is a problem with the soul? We always look at the dense part of us, don't we? Like if there's something physically wrong or if we're feeling low or whatever. How would somebody know that it's a soul thing?
So I'll give you some examples of physical ailments they might be experiencing. So depression, low mood are classic signs, addictions, any chronic illnesses that just aren't improving. And in the same way, grief, which isn't showing any sign of progression. So we all know with grief that it's a very individual experience and that there is no set time frame in it, but usually we know when there's absolutely no change in how we're feeling around grief. So they're classic examples. Also just that sense of feeling lost. I don't know if you've ever felt yourself or maybe heard friends say, I just feel like there's part of me missing. That is the ultimate classic sign and reference to missing parts.
Yeah. And I guess that's what happens with grief, isn't it? When you lose a loved one, you know, we are all connected, emotionally connected, spiritually connected. And so when our loved ones are taken from our physical connection, we do feel lost because our kind of our bearings have been changed. So we are a little bit confused as to where we now stand within life, really. And I think that's what opened me up to, you know, speaking with you and trying the healing for my soul, because I was feeling lost and that part of me had gone missing. Let's go back to the treatment that you gave me. So talk us through it again. I know what it was like, but let my listeners know what it was like and what you did.
Okay, so just briefly then, I work with, we set the intention. I then use my shamanic drum and rattles predominantly to assist me into a very deep, meditative trance-like state. That's what distinguishes shamanism from other energy therapies, is being in that trance-like state. And from there I can connect with the guides that I work with, my shamanic guides and animal spirit guide. And I do on your behalf what's called a shamanic journey, which is where I'm journeying it into the non-ordinary worlds that I mentioned I think earlier. And it's in the non-ordinary world, so the world of the universe or the spirit might be an easier way for your listeners to think of it, where we find the soul parts. And what I also do is connect with an animal spirit guide, which comes forward for you for the specific healing and will then stay with you whilst that healing is working its way through, so to speak. It might stay with you a lot longer. So in your case, a polar bear came forward, which actually made itself known as a bear, just, you know, an ordinary brown bear, and then immediately morphed into a polar bear. And the bear took me and my guides, like we were literally on its back, riding out across the frozen ice caps. And eventually we were just in an ice cave where your parts were very conveniently waiting. They aren't always all gathered together in one place. Sometimes we find one and then the journey will continue, or we'll find some more. So we found the parts.
What did they look like? So you say you found the parts. So just to keep the visual going, you and my polar bear and your guides are now in this ice cave and you found these parts. What do they look like? Do they look like rocks, or, you know, are they in a nice parcel with a bow? You know, what are they like?
Well, it does vary from session to session. In your case, there was one, as you know, one really big part from last year, and that looked like an outline of you, so like a full size, not such crisp detail, but a human size, etc. The others were, I often see as like small balls of energy, and the others look like that. So that I gather them all together, literally I picture him putting them into my hands, even though size-wise the big one wouldn't fit.
I don't know, I'm only 5 foot, so maybe I would.
So I visualize collecting them together in my hands, and then we journey back a little bit more into the real world, so to speak, and then I return those parts to you using my breath. So they're blown back into your energy system, into your aura. And that then starts the next phase, which is what we call integration. So there's an element of integration within the session, and then full integration carries on for the next 4 weeks after the session.
And that's interesting, because I must admit, I felt exhausted since we did it. Is that normal?
That can be normal, yeah. So during, especially in the first few days, because it's a big healing, it's a big shift for your energy system, which our aura is, you know, is integrated with our physical body. Physical body is just the densest part of the aura. So changes we're making energetically will impact physically. So you can experience feeling more tired for a while. And also you can experience feeling on a high as well. So hopefully you'll have some of those days too.
Well, hopefully that would be very nice. So we've got, you know, my parts of my soul back. What can I expect then for moving forward? Or is it something that needs to be done more often? Or, you know, you do it once and you're fine. You know, how does that work?
Generally speaking, per intention that we set, you would typically only need one retrieval. It would be really hard physically for us to bring back every single missing part that we have in our bodies, especially if we're doing this as we're older. You can imagine how many parts we probably got missing.
Loads. In fact, it's amazing there's much left, really.
So there may not be a need to have another retrieval on the particular intention that we were working on, but many clients choose a few months later, perhaps, or whatever interval appropriate for them, to come back and work on something else, because they start to feel the benefit. And you asked what can you expect, what will you feel. It's quite subtle, the changes. So you're obviously feeling the bigger change physically now as the integration is taking place. And in my notes that I wrote for you, I suggested that you do develop a reflective practice. So once a week, just look back on your week and notice how things are changing for you. And I suggest that to clients because the work is quite subtle. And if you've got a very busy life and you didn't do that, you would rush on and you could miss it. And it might be 3-4 months down the line, you would look back and go, aha, yes.
And what kind of intentions do people generally come to you to set? You know, like for me, it was peace and calm. And I don't know with other people who are going through a grief phase whether peace and calm is an intention. But what kind of intentions do you think either somebody would set or that they have come to you to set?
Yeah, I can share some examples. So there's two different ways of working with the intentions. So in your case, the intention was about how you want to feel, because I always ask you that too. But another way of wording that would have been around healing grief. So you can either focus it on a specific traumatic event that you know has occurred, or sometimes people come along and there isn't an obvious pinpoint to an event. And that's when, especially when we work with how we want to feel. So people often would focus on self-love. They want to be able to love themselves more, feeling happier. Quite a lot of clients, especially at the moment, are focusing on being able to move forward with their life. So often, Pete, you get to a point where you just feel stuck and yet you're not sure why. Now, sometimes that might not be a retrieval. That might be one of the other shamanic sessions that I do called an energy extraction, but it's still working shamanically.
What's a shamanic extraction? Because again, that would possibly be, you know, something that somebody who is grieving at the moment would consider, not just a soul retrieval, would it? Would it work for that?
Yes, it can be. So where retrieval is bringing parts and energy back, energy extraction is removing old stuck energy that's deeply embedded in your aura, in your energy body. So over time, we can easily build up just old stuckness.
Stuckness.
I'll try and give you a better example than that. If you have a repetitive negative thought pattern, and if you've been thinking that thought for years and years and years, then eventually it starts to take hold in our energy body. So that's a classic example. But otherwise, just through everyday life, we pick up stuff, especially if we're sensitive to energy. So even just, you know, in the days when we could walk down a busy high street, you overhear an argument or bump into somebody and pick up a little bit of old energy. So some of the energy will be created by the client. Others could be stuff they've picked up from others. Usually it'd be from people they have a close relationship with, so family, friends, etc.
And I guess now with all that's going on with the COVID-19, we must be picking up negative energy from like every source, you know. How do you keep that energy off you? Any ideas for people, you know, without going for a shamanic healing, but just on a day-to-day basis, is there something you can suggest? Because let's face it, I think the world is actually grieving the life we knew before. You know, going around with masks and all of that on is just a reminder of what we've lost. And so I think there is insidious grief at the moment globally.
Yeah, grief and anxiety and all the thoughts that come along with both of those, loss. So we've been talking about grief a lot, but often we experience loss in other forms as well, jobs, relationships, etc., which we're all going through now. So a great question about how to protect yourself. I'll share a really easy way. It's not a shamanic technique, but it is an energy technique. And the easiest way is just to imagine yourself in a protective bubble of light. As you get more experience, you'll be able to choose particular colours for particular things. But working with white light or gold light is the easiest to start with. They're just good all-round colours. And you literally just picture yourself in a cocoon. So the bubble needs to go above your head, below your feet, all around you. Just imagine yourself bathed in light. And if you know you're going to be, for example, going to an environment that's a bit harsh or that you find a bit difficult, then you can experiment a bit with the outer layer of that bubble, if you think of it as the outer casing, so to speak.
So if you're going to the supermarket, for instance, it's not even going into, you know, this especially difficult environment. It is really going about our day-to-day business, isn't it, that we need this protection. So next time we're in the supermarket, we go put our bubble on and then our mask and like you say, just go and get that protection. It's the strange days that we are living in, that's for sure.
They are strange. Do remember though to let that protection ease, because you want to allow positive energy through. It's and that again, working with intention, as you know, imagining your bubble. Or another technique is just the Harry Potter cloak. That's a great invisibility cloak, is a classic form of protection. But you do want to allow positive, good energy through. So set the intention that it's just there to protect and deflect any negative energy that's coming your way, but it allows positive energy through.
And let's go back to these blockages then. So what do blockages look like, and how do you spot somebody's particular blockages?
Well, every therapist will have their own way of picturing it or sensing it. We don't all picture things. So for me, it's a lot about sensing. I work a lot through my hands. I work with a pendulum a lot, and I will get sensations in my hands, or feedback as I call it, which will just indicate where the blockages are. I also had to have an inner knowing too, and then my hands verify that. So I know that sounds probably completely woo-woo, but after working for 15 years with energy, every therapist will work slightly differently. We just build up. Based on our training, we will then hone those skills into a way that works for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to understand if you're a sort of a practical person that, you know, seeing is believing. It's very difficult to get your head around what it is that you're doing and how that can benefit. So if somebody is like, you know, they want help, they want things to change in their life, but they're going, I just can't buy into this. How can you explain it to somebody or encourage them? Because obviously you know that this is going to help if you could just open somebody up. So how do you go about that?
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't ever try and persuade someone. The person has to be ready. And if they aren't open to at least trying different therapy, you know, there's many therapies that can help. If the person isn't willing, then they're not going to work. Then, you know, their beliefs will be so strong, or at least they won't have the experience of it working. I will know on a soul level that I've done just the same with them if they chose to come along, as I have with you or anybody else. But their experience might be, well, nothing's changed, I didn't feel anything, you know, I just lay there for an hour. And so it is very much about the client, the person being ready to heal. And for some clients, they often don't ever get to that point because they've become accustomed to being unhealed and hurting, and that becomes their way of life. And they, you know, if they believe that that's how life has to be now, then sadly for them, that might be their ongoing experience.
And that's the hardest thing, isn't it? Because I do see that a lot in groups that I'm in Facebook, for instance, of people who just accept that life is now painful. And, you know, life is painful for me right now, but I really do not want the whole of my life to be painful, which is why I came to you, which is why I do the Good Grief Conversation. But like you were just saying, it's then down to the willingness to say, yes, I'm looking to heal. I'm open to healing. Without that, I see people, like you just said, that the pain then becomes the norm. At what point does holding on to the pain long enough that it becomes a norm? How does the mind know that that's the norm? It's like, I'm waffling a little bit because I don't want myself for this to become my norm. But how do we know, and what can we do?
It's a really difficult one, isn't it? We spoke earlier about, you know, you had to be ready for this session yourself. You know, it would have been, because we spoke about having it quite a while ago, but the timing wasn't right. It would have been too soon.
So there's a time when the pain is just so raw that really nurturing and self-love is actually the answer at that moment in time. And then I guess as that eases, rather than getting stuck with going, oh, that's eased, then it's like, right, how can I now change my life? How can I now go back to feel it? I always say to people, you know, I want to feel that light, happy feeling, whereas life always feels a little heavy. And so it's like, at some point you've got to go, I want to chase that. I want to create that.
Yeah, it's such a unique journey. And I'm partly trying to think back on my journeys. I don't know really what the trigger is. That's not very helpful for your listeners, but because some people will never get to it. You know, we have this collective consciousness acceptance that grief takes time and it's different time for everybody. And it is. But we can affect that time by the choices we make. And whether that's to seek this kind of healing or to seek, you know, like I did, it was the start of my spiritual journey because I desperately wanted to be able to contact my mum on the other side, so to speak. And for me, it was a great comfort just knowing that that might be a possibility, and finding a place of comfort can be a great point to start, can't it? And acceptance, because for a long time, we're just in denial that the person has gone, especially when they've gone quite quickly.
And I also think it's the story that we tell ourselves. You know, I hear a lot of people online saying, oh, I'll never let go of my grief because that's what I've got left of my son or daughter or whatever. So the language that they're using is already making a commitment to the grief. This is me forever now. But nothing is forever though, is it?
No, everything changes all the time. Physically, mentally, we've got a lot more control over our thoughts. And you know the power of our thoughts and the law of attraction and affirmations. And that works just as powerfully if we're thinking negative thoughts.
Yeah, we can be unconsciously using affirmations, you know, such as that one. This is my, you know, the grief, the pain, I live with that now. That's actually, it's an affirmation and a statement to turn into fact. So if we want healing, if we want a better, more peaceful life, as I was looking for, then we have to start the journey. You have to be willing to let go of the grief and replace it with whatever that is that you want to come afterwards. And I don't mean tangible stuff like a new car, new house, whatever. You know, you do what you will with that. But I believe that you have to open up to say, yes, I want to feel different than I feel right now. And then you can start that healing journey.
Definitely. And it's all back to the willingness of the person, isn't it? And, you know, it's often said, isn't it? You'll be aware of this, that, you know, the sadness and the grief we feel is just the love that we've still got for the person that we're not out now able to physically give them. And so finding other ways to use that love, you know, how else, where else, who else could we give that love and care and kindness to? And
because you do hear that such a lot, and then people think, oh, so therefore I'll keep the grief because I can keep the love. But the transition is to take that love and pass it outwards, not keep it inwards. And then the love of your lost loved one can be spread out. It can continue living. Gosh, that's very philosophical. Don't know where that came from.
It is. And I'm sure that's what, you know, the loved ones who've passed wouldn't want to see people still hurting after quite a lot of time's passed.
Yeah, and for their love to continue being used and loving, isn't it? I'm going to get really deep here now. I know, you know, we talk about everything being all, we're all one, but that one is love, isn't it? It's a love energy. And so if we're trapping that love energy with grief inside of us, then it doesn't have a flow. Would you say, is that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It doesn't have a flow. And while we're holding on to it, we're not opening ourselves up to receive more from other people, you know, our friends and family around us. We're just holding on to that, the love from that one particular person, and let it flow. It's much healthier. And that doesn't mean you'll never feel the pain of the grief again in the future. You know, memories come back and you'll have a moment of sadness again, and then you can shift it on again.
And I guess that is the key, isn't it? That just acknowledging that can bring some light into our life as well. Oh, marvellous. Once again, Dawn, it's been lovely to talk to you. I feel more relaxed already. It's great.
You're welcome. Thank you, Janet.
Thanks ever so much, Dawn. We're out of time now, but it's been an absolute pleasure. And I'll catch up with you soon. Thank you, Dawn. Well, I hope you got lots out of that conversation, another deep conversation. I know that it will work and resonate for some people, and for others, perhaps it's just the beginning of opening the door. Now, Dawn's conversation actually concludes the 5-part series of our spiritual help on grieving. And if you didn't catch up with all of the conversations, then check out episodes 14 to 18. And there you will find all kinds of conversations, from discussing angels and Angel Ezrael in particular, who is the transformation and grief angel. And there are more in-depth conversations about chakras and breathing and even more soul healing. Plus, I ask all our guests to provide you with a free gift, and you will find those in the podcast extras at www.thegoodgriefconversation.com. So if you just head over to that website, then you'll be able to find the button and it just says podcast extras for you to sign up now. It's a nice bright yellow button. Can't miss it. And when you get there, you will also be given the opportunity, if you wish, to support this very important conversation and help me to keep it going. So just head over to www.thegoodgriefconversation.com and you will be able to find out much more about the podcast extras, where there's not only gifts from this 5 series for the spiritual help section, but there are many, many gifts in there that will help you wherever you are in your grieving transformation. Then you will find the relevant thing to help you at any moment in time. It's an incredibly valuable resource. Anyway, until next time, I am your host, Janet Jones, and I am here on UK Health Radio. I look forward to catching up with you another time. If you would like to contact me in the meantime, either to share stories or experiences, or if you've got any tips or advice, then do please get in touch. My name is Janet Jones, and my email is janet@thegoodgriefconversation.com. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time. Take care for now. Bye.